Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the 24th chapter, we'll be reading from verses 36 to 48. And it is found on page 920 of your Pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them, but they were startled and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." It's the word of the Lord. I was going to say I was teasing last week when I talked about April birthdays, about people being born in April being wonderful people. Some of you didn't know what I was talking about. You were looking at me kind of crazy, but I just wanted you to know that my birthday was in April, and so it was a kind of a joke there. But birthdays are wonderful occasions. They are wonderful occasions to celebrate the gift of life that God has blessed each and every one of us with. All of life is a wonderful blessing, and what we do with our lives matter. And so birthdays are wonderful occasions to assess our lives and to give God thanks for the gift of life. But birthdays are, after you get to a certain age, they are always a reminder that we are getting older. Every birthday, I notice that my body gets a little creakier. To my dismay, I get a little balder, a little thicker around the middle. And some of the things I used to be able to do with ease, I can no longer do. Seems not too long ago I was able to knock out 50 push-ups with no problem, but now I won't even embarrass myself by telling you how many I can do, but I can assure you it's nowhere near 50. And of course, the older we get, the more those youthful indiscretions begin to tell on us, those unhealthy life choices that we made when we were young begin to show up in maladies like diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure and other maladies. So it's quite understandable then, given all of the problems that we have with our bodies, that many people look forward to the day when they can escape the body altogether and go to be with the Lord. I heard a lady say that just the other day, that she was ready to leave this old world and leave her body behind and go to be with the Lord. And some people even believe that that is what Easter is all about. They believe that the resurrection of Jesus is proof that Jesus was divine, that he really was God, and that if we believe in him, then we can be assured that one day we'll be able to leave this world behind and leave our bodies behind and go to heaven, go to be with the Lord. And of course, all of that is true as far as it goes. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. We go to be even deeper into the presence of God. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even death itself can separate us from the love of God. But we're reminded that Easter is much more than that. Easter is much more than us looking forward to departing our bodies and departing this world to go to heaven. Easter is about the good news that God has right now for this world, this material world of decay and brokenness and sadness and suffering and death. That's what our passage this morning from Luke's gospel wants us to understand. It's the day of Easter, Easter evening, and in Luke's gospel, the resurrected Lord makes two appearances to his disciples and followers. The first appearance comes to two of his followers as they leave Jerusalem to go back to their home in Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And as they are on the road, Jesus comes to be in their midst, only they do not recognize him. They do not know who he is. Even though he interprets for them the scriptures and talks with them a good while, they still don't recognize him until they get to their home. And they invite the stranger in for a meal. And it's in the breaking of the bread and the blessing of the bread that their eyes are suddenly opened and they recognize the resurrected Lord in their midst. And immediately they run back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples that they have seen the Lord. And shortly after, the resurrected Lord comes in to the midst of the rest of the disciples too, and says, "Peace be with you." And we are told that the disciples are frightened upon seeing Jesus. They're frightened upon seeing him. Obviously, they believe they are being haunted. They believe he is a ghost, because it's easier to believe in ghosts than it is to believe that someone has actually been raised from the dead. But Jesus assures them that he is no ghost. He is no apparition. He is not a disembodied spirit. He is not a psychological projection of their deepest desires. He is not a vague and nebulous presence that lives on in their hearts. He is a real flesh and blood crucified Lord who has been raised from the dead, still carrying the scars of the crucifixion, the scars of what we did to him on Good Friday in his body. Jesus comes into their midst as a real flesh and blood person. And he tells them to touch and see. Touch and see, touch my hands, touch my feet, touch my wounds. See that it's really me, it's really the one who was crucified, the one who was dead and buried, the one who was scourged and laid in the tomb, but now has been raised from the dead. It's an interesting story that Luke tells us about the resurrection, and in some respects, even a humorous story. Jesus not only invites his disciples to touch him, but he tells them that he is hungry and he sits down and has a meal of broiled fish, proving once more that this Jesus is a flesh and blood physical presence in their midst. Luke tells us his story because he wants us to see something important about the nature of the resurrection. He tells us his story because he wants us to see that the resurrection is physical. He wants us to see how physical it is, how fleshly it is, how down to earth it is. He wants us to see that the resurrection is something that can be touched and felt and grasped. And so he tells us this story. He wants us to see, too, that the good news of Easter is not that one day we will escape our bodies and escape the world to go to heaven, but that the good news of Easter is that God in Christ is making all things new. Every first Sunday, we say together the Apostles' Creed. And we state what it is we believe. And one of the things we say that we believe is that we believe in the resurrection of the body. That's what we say. We believe in the resurrection of the body. And we say that the reason that clause is included in the Apostles' Creed is because from the very beginning, one of the great temptations was to spiritualize the good news away and to pretend that God wasn't concerned about our material existence, that God wasn't concerned about our bodies and what we do with our bodies, that God wasn't concerned about the world that God created, this flesh and blood physical world, that God was somehow going to throw this world away. That the only thing that God is concerned about is our spirits, our souls. That once we get rid of our old tired bodies, our decaying bodies, will, if we hope, as we hope, we'll go to heaven and be with the Lord. I don't know where we got the notion that God isn't concerned about our material existence. I don't know where we as Christians got the notion that God isn't concerned about the material world. We certainly didn't get it from the Bible. Because the Bible tells us again and again that God is concerned about the body and the material world. God is concerned about our flesh and blood existence. The Bible reminds us that God is the Creator God who created the world and created each and every one of us and saw that it was good. The book of Genesis says again and again that it is good, it is good, it is good. God created this world and God said that it was good. But it is true that we human beings have made a mess of God's good creation. And because we have made a mess of God's good creation, the world is filled with sin and decay and suffering and death. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about this world, this physical world. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love this world. It doesn't mean that God plans to throw God's world away. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus takes all the sin and death and decay and pain and suffering of the world on himself on the cross on Good Friday. all the suffering that we can think about, all the pain of our world, all the sin and ugliness, Jesus takes upon himself. And when God raises Jesus from the dead, when God raises his fleshly, physical body from the dead, it is an affirmation that God loves and cares about this world. God loves and cares about this physical, flesh and blood, material world. And God not only loves it and cares about it, but in the resurrection, it is an affirmation that God is already redeeming it and making all things new. Occasionally when I'll call my mother, she will, after watching hours of CNN news loops, she would say that something like, "This old world is about to come to an end. Randy, I don't know, but I've been watching TV, and this old world is getting worse and worse, and it's about to come to an end." And she is right about that. This world, this old world is about to come to an end. This world of violence, this world of injustice, this world of pain and decay and death, that world is about to come to an end. But it doesn't mean that God plans to destroy God's good creation. It doesn't mean that God plans to throw it away. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about our material existence. Because what the resurrection tells us in the bodily raising of Jesus from the dead is that God is redeeming this world. And that God has already begun that process of redemption in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus is the first fruits. What God has done for Christ in raising him from the dead, that God has promised one day to do for all of us. God plans to raise our bodies anew as well. Going to heaven is not our final destination. Being with the Lord in heaven and existing in some spiritual realm is not our final destination. The resurrection hope and the resurrection promise is that one day God will renew our old, tired bodies. Our bodies that it's getting a little balder and a little fatter and a little creakier, that someday, somehow, God will reclaim and renew these bodies, scars and all. Some of us are here this morning because we are scarred. Some of us are here this morning because we've been hurt by the world. Some of us are here this morning because we have pain deep down inside of our hearts. But the good news of Easter is that God takes those scars and that pain and redeems it too. That even our scars are redeemed and will be redeemed for the good of the world and the bringing in of God's new creation. And Luke tells us that you and I, all of us, are called to be witnesses to the newness that God has already began in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be witnesses of that in the world. I used to think that being a witness meant going out and telling people about Jesus so that they could believe and then go to heaven when they died. And that still isn't important. That still is something necessary to do. But being a witness to the resurrection, being a witness to the newness that God has already wrought in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to participate in that newness. It is to participate in that, in everything that we do, in every cup of water that we give in the name of Jesus, in every act of kindness that we extend to someone, in every tree that we plant, in every person that we visit in the hospital or in prison, in every act of justice that we are engaged in to help make the world a better place, we are bearing witness to the newness of the resurrection and the newness that will one day cover the entire world. Sometimes I think we as Christians are so heavenly minded, as the old adage says, that we are no worldly good. We are so intent on going to heaven that we forget about the world that God loves and cares for, the world that God has died for. Sometimes we are told that as Christians we should just stick to spiritual things and not be concerned about the things of the world. And usually when people say stick to spiritual things, they simply mean things that they want to have control over. They don't want God to intrude the very real world in which we live our lives. They don't want God to have anything to say about how we treat one another. They don't want God to have anything to say about issues of poverty. They don't want God to have anything to say about our penchant for violence. They don't want God to have anything to say about how we devise our budgets. They don't want God to care for this world that God created and loved and has sent his son to die for. And so in the church, we're often told just to stick to spiritual matters and let the world be the world, because after all, God is going to throw the world away anyway. I was listening to a discussion the other day about the environment, and I'm not really a big environment person. I don't follow a little bit about the debates, but I'm not one to really know enough about it to make any informed decision. But I remember one man who was a Christian said, it doesn't matter what we do to the world because God plans to destroy the world anyway. So it doesn't matter how many carbons we pump into the world. Doesn't matter what we do to our oceans. Doesn't matter whether or not we try to stem the tide of pollution, because God is going to destroy the world anyway. And I wanted to say how unbiblical that is. God loves the world, this old world, this flesh and blood world. God cares about it. God cares what we do to the world, just as God cares what we do to our bodies. Our bodies are important, and God cares about our bodies and how we treat our bodies and what we do with our bodies and how we relate our bodies to one another. God cares about all of that, because one day God has promised to redeem all of it. God has promised to redeem our bodies. God has promised to redeem this world. And not only has God promised to do that, but God has promised that you and I have already been redeemed. You and I have already been made new. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in our baptism, we are already a part of the new creation, even now. And so we are called to go out and to be witnesses to that newness that has already been wrought in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Yes, we are all getting a little older. Yes, we are all reminded that one day we will all die. Yes, we are reminded that we live in a world that is filled with decay and suffering and pain. But the good news is not that we are called to escape this world to some spiritual abode, but that we are called to go deeper into this world, deeper into this world of so much pain and hurt and suffering, and proclaim the good news and to live the good news that this world has already been reclaimed by God's great love, and that one day it will come to an end. One day, sin and violence will come to an end. And God's glory, God's love, God's peace will be all and all. And you and I are witnesses to these things. To the glory of God forever. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you help us in this season of resurrection to claim that resurrection life for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our communities. Lord, we ask that you help us to proclaim in the midst of a world of death that your newness of life has already broken in to our world, where we might be threatened to be overcome by all that is around us, the darkness that is around us. Give us the power through your Spirit to be lights that shine in the midst of the darkness. And we ask, Lord, that you help us never to be so spiritually minded that we forget the world that you have called us to serve. Help us to be agents of your redemption in the midst of this broken world. Help us to proclaim the good news of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe in the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of our bodies, the resurrection of this world, because you have already raised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. And because you have promised that what you have done for him, that you will do for all of us, and indeed for the whole world. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.